Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 15th. Joining us this morning is UC Extension, Cooperative Extension, Head Mucky Muck and Forester, as she reminded me, Yana Velikovic. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
We do have reeds, though.
Okay.
Oh. All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
Let's go with this one. Why do we use the phrase up to snuff to mean up to par?
Another phrase.
That's how it's written in the book. So.
We have a tobacco reference.
Yes. Well, the snuff would be up to snuff. I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
I never know these.
It was first used to describe a person's physical condition. The most sensitive of all our senses is that of smell. It's the one most easily upset by our general physical condition. So a person who said he was up to snuff meant he was able to sniff or smell. In other words, in fine condition.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't have gotten that, but I like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Different part of the campus, but that's okay.
Well, but unique. I mean, that's why we have all of our senses.
Yeah. I heard something. We were talking about the new cats earlier before going on the air. Cats' sense of smell is 1,000 times stronger than people's?
Probably.
It's amazing probably. We survived.
I don't know that I want to smell any more than I do.
No. Well, just in the kitchen. Not when you burn something. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Flowers, kitchen, food. Yeah, that's all good. Yeah. That's it. Maybe not.
Yeah. So is this a good Christmas tree season this year for the Christmas tree growers?
I think Christmas tree growers are really happy to look at the demand. People are home this year, so why not have a tree?
I've only seen one Christmas tree farm, so I'm not really, the trend is not really one for me. But how do they get those trees to grow as quickly as they do and with the proportions that the marketplace is looking for?
Well, the art of Christmas tree growing, I mean, it's an ag crop, so it's grown in fields. There are some pest and disease issues that have to be managed, but the main action is really about the trimming work. There's a lot of pruning that happens, and not quite to the bonsai level, but to create the bushiness and the cylindricalness that we like as a Christmas tree. So certain varieties are, better designed for that kind of pruning. Others, like you were talking about, the silver tip fir, those don't need that much. Christmas trees are in the ground for 10 to 12 years before they're ready to be harvested.
So it's a pretty...
They're grown in full sun. They're grown in full sun, and they've got, plenty of nutrients and water, and conditions are right for them.
What about the elevations? We see that there's some, with other plants, the elevation is a huge component to, obviously, the rate of growth. Is there a magical elevation for Christmas trees, or can they be pretty much grown anywhere?
That's a good question. I think the bigger issue really is about making sure you have enough water to support them and making sure they don't get diseased. So there's a lot of, good cultural care that comes into managing the plants we plant in our yards. So it's not much different than that. We tend to, make sure that we're growing at moderate temperatures and with good sunlight. So you tend to see them, in the lower elevations in Oregon for the most part. And for the most part in California, now that I think about it, they're mostly grown in the Coast Range.
Okay, so you have seen some Christmas tree farms in California.
Yeah, there are, definitely. I mean, there's a couple here in Humboldt.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't Lolita have one? Or Lolita Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one in, what do you call that area, north of Arcata and to the east, up through the Alder Industrial Grove Park.
Oh.
There's a farm.
Yeah, okay. Not Blue Lake.
No, on that nice ridge separating the two communities.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Up where the Annie and Mary used to run past.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. The reason I was asking about the elevation is because I know with coffee trees, that their elevation is a significant factor. It must be more apparent in plants that have fruit rather than those that are evergreen?
You're asking questions. I'm not exactly sure. I just heard a story, actually, of coffee being grown in Southern California.
Really?
Yeah. So there's actually a flower farmer that's starting to grow coffee. I just heard about that last week. The thing is, you can move trees around. The issue with trees in the Coast Range is they tend to pick up diseases as they move elevational bands. But if you're managing them in a nursery setting or in a farm setting, you can mitigate a lot of those exposure issues. So you can grow something that's off-site.
Well, that's true.
Lower elevation, for example.
Well, then they've got the coffee plantations also in Hawaii, which, you know, they kind of grow down towards the water rather than up on the hilltops, just because of the access to the grounds. But it sounds like old Juan Valdez is going to have a little bit more competition as things continue to be subject to creativity, huh?
Well, I mean, getting into Christmas tree farming is not for the light of heart. I mean, you have to be ready for the labor and maintenance. It's not like you plant the trees and walk away and come back, you know, 12 years later and you're ready to harvest. There's still a lot of involvement as farming typically takes. And, you know, you have an initial investment and you don't realize return for, you know, a decade or more. So you have to be able to, you know, carry that cost forward until you can begin to, you know, have a product that's ready to sell.
Well, kind of like a vineyard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like most ag products, unless they're an annual product, may take some time.
Yeah. Not those that you get three or four crop rotations in a year.
Right.
As an example. Yes. Yeah.
As an example, but it depends on your initial cost for investment and what you need for infrastructure and whether it's water and irrigation development or, you know, what you may need.
Yeah, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. Jana, the concept of biomass is something we kind of touched on a couple of shows back, and I was talking with a buddy of mine who's in the home improvement industry, and he was talking about some really cool technologies that are coming available now in plywood manufacturing, in some of the support materials that are dealing with biomass in a different fashion. And it kind of triggered in my head, he used Weyerhaeuser as one example, you know, of what's that's out there. But it triggered about what biomass is in the situation we have in California, because there is so much of it, but it's also not really being utilized either in the remanufacturing process for fiber or for conversion for electrical, or I guess power. What is, to kind of reset and bring everybody up to speed, what is the current situation with biomass, and what is this stuff in California?
Yeah. Well, bio, so it's organic mass matter, right? So it's really what's in trees and ag crops and living plant material. But when we start talking about woody biomass, then we tend to talk about stuff that is of lower value, so not saw logs themselves, not the lumber that we, you know, build our homes with, but it can be the sawmill residues, so the bark, the chips, the little mill-ins, and it can be the material that is making fuels in our forests, where, you know, there are shrubs and small trees that don't have a typical other product, lumber product that we tend to think about, but it's just all that extra organic matter that's growing in the forest. And so biomass, I think we talk about it mostly in Humboldt County in relation to energy, but it has a whole broad spectrum of products, as you mentioned in your intro there, and can be, you know, parts of plywood and or not necessarily plywood itself, but like oriented strand board, OSB, if you've ever seen that, where it's, you know, smaller materials. Some of them can be put into glued products and made into other components. So it's this broad term that refers to stuff that's of lower value, but then can either be remanufactured or used to produce energy or used to produce pulp.
It's
really important.
Typically this time of the year, or maybe last month in the old days, like 2 years ago, we would go into the valley and they were doing the agriculture burns and you'd see everything going on. Is that of quality for biomass, for some of these repurposing things, or are there some materials that are just not really suitable for anything else?
Right. So what do you do with walnut shells, for example?
Okay.
What do you do? You know, so there's a whole range of ag-related products. What happens when you've got an orchard that's reached its maturity level in its life, or it's diseased or something like that? So you'll also see materials that are from ag-related efforts that can be used for energy or for other products. So there's broad ways to think about it. In Humboldt, we really are just talking about what's coming off the forest or coming out of the sawmills.
Right, but you know, considering how we seem to be at the end of the tail of the dog, and it's a really big dog. when we talk about biomass, it can't be just for Humboldt County. It's really got to be at least regional, you know, maybe in the whatever the governor is calling our zone now with the virus thing. You know, I mean, something larger so that it's encompassing multiple ecos or environmental areas.
Right. I mean, we're all in this together, and I think the slash fire year really, you know, unified us through smoke, if anything, and ash, and this idea that the excess vegetation that we have in our forest because we haven't really allowed wildfire to help, you know, consume some of those smaller diameter materials. And so when you get, you know, an ignition in our forest now, it's got a lot of material to burn. So the density of our forest is really, really high. And so there's, you know, lots and lots of trees and shrubs that are vulnerable to fire, and that unites us in that way. And that when you have, you know, large scale wildfires, that has great impact. So the question is, do we want to burn that up, or is there a utilization opportunity that produces a byproduct that's of value to all of us?
And how about even just accessing it? Yeah,
I mean that's the whole processing, harvesting element. It's complicated because these are low value, so you don't get a lot of return on investment, and it takes, you know, sometimes expensive equipment to be able to utilize or manufacture it. So the questions are, do you process it in the woods, or do you move it somewhere else and then process it in that other location, which maybe you can work at scale? So, you know, it's been a difficult nut to crack. There hasn't been a whole lot of financial investment in these technologies for the last several decades, and that's, I think, in part why we're in the pickle we are with our wildland management issues. Because we really stopped investing as a nation in these technologies. But the exception is, and I don't know if you've heard about this concept, but mass timber. Mass timber is a new concept about how to build mostly through veneer and laminate-based panels how to build taller structural buildings that could out of wood that replace that typical steel and concrete.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Jano Valakovic from the UC Cooperative Extension out at Spruce Point. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Jano, looking at this concept of biomass and what would be possible in our area, feasible in our area, it would seem like with the history of having mills here and with the trees being in the area that we might be ripe for something like this, but are there any biomass facilities that are doing anything other than converting it to like what Fairhaven has done?
So I think we have to talk about it at different levels. Yes, we have typical sawmills that produce structural lumber, 2x4s, 2x6s, you know, something bigger. We have a fence plant, and the fence plant works with a smaller diameter material, often the tops of the trees that, you don't have much of a saw log left in those. So when you look at whole tree processing, there are many components, and we're always trying to utilize as much as we possibly can to get the highest value return, so that gives back to the landowner, so they can invest in their property and steward it as well as they can. So the more return on what you get, the more available resources there are to do the stewardship activity. So the challenge is making sure that you have enough infrastructure to be able to take off, to be able to utilize each of those byproducts along the way, right? So the bark, for example, you can go off as a decorative bark. Or the little bits of smaller materials that are all uneven in size that can go as energy. We talked about feedstock for our power plants, but then you also have the shavings and the stuff that comes off the planers, and that has, because it's a clean product that's used for animal bedding, I use it in my chicken coop, for example. That has a higher value than just what you would sell for energy. So we're looking at every possibility along the way. The trick is, we lost the pulp mill, and the pulp mill actually took some really higher value product. There's room. We've had sawmill closure, so there's a lot of room and a lot of wood available. We talk about the North Coast having a wood basket, and our wood basket's full, and there's lots of opportunity for more investment and development. There's some discussion about bringing in some chip manufacturing, wood pellet manufacturing, both a black pellet and a white pellet. And the neat thing about black pellets is that they can be an alternative feedstock for coal.
Oh, really?
They go through a little bit of pyrolysis, so they're not subject to moisture. Once they've been charred, they don't take on moisture in the same level that a pellet would typically do. So there's interest in trying to, provide a product that could, be an alternative, both in overseas and if we have any, coal power plants within our shipping distribution within, the West Coast, that could be an option. I worked with a flooring plant a while ago that almost came to Humboldt County, and that was a peeler product. So there's lots of opportunity. I know there's more interest in that topic I was talking about with mass timber, where you're really making structural elements that are prefabricated, such as beams and columns and panels, and Right now, you know, trying to test the market and see how much the interest there is in California. All of those products are coming from out of state right now. So if we can get more and more interest in California and substituting the typical steel and cement for these wood products, you know, it's a win-win economically as well as environmentally, because, you know, some of the biggest costs for carbon pollution really comes from the cement manufacturing industry, because it takes a lot of energy to break down and make that lime for cement, and it has a huge environmental footprint. So as much as, you know, cement is long-lived, but it's taking often a fossil fuel-based energy source to make cement. So where we can use wood, we're basically, from a carbon perspective, it's a win-win for the environment as well as the atmosphere and our economies as well. So any time we can build with wood is, in my opinion, generally a better situation.
Now, there was a trend for steel construction for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Was that because the lumber mills weren't able to produce at the pace to keep up with some of the structural woods?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know where that came from. I mean, we also have engineering challenges with earthquake country, and, you know, there's that management issue. These new wood products are, you know, on the market for a decade or more now, and so they've got a different engineering rating. They weren't necessarily here 20 years ago. And so, you know, this is, in that field of new innovation. I don't know. I just wish everyone understood that when they buy local and they buy local wood products, what a win-win it is for the environment, for the economy, and for the community.
Right. Well, and then on the flip side is you got to be able to have access to that, which means you got to have the manufacturing facilities, right?
And you need to have the trucking. You need to have all those elements. And, like, just looking at, you know, the huge drought we had in 2016, where we lost, you know, 100 million trees in Sierras, for example, and parts of other parts of California, but mostly in the Sierras and mostly in the southern Sierras. They had lost their entire forest products manufacturing industry, which meant they had no way to dispose of those trees. They had to bring in foresters, truckers, everyone. They had to, you know, ship it there to be able to manage the issue. So having a viable set of infrastructure in a community is really important, whether your goal is restoration or whether it's about, you know, creating value-added product that, you know, sustains an industry.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. So, Jana, the concept of using biomass, whether it's for energy or for new products, just thinking about things differently. If we had a tree, whatever the type, whatever the size, what percentage of it is currently being utilized? What percent is being not utilized that could be utilized in some of these forms we've talked about?
Well, I mean, the tree is 100% utilized. Whether it goes to the highest value products is the next question, and whether there's some opportunity for higher value products for elements of the tree, that's sort of the next opportunity. I think I want to share something about energy, because I find this really interesting. A lot of folks get uncomfortable when they think about the fact that we burn either small diameter trees or the residuals out of sawmills and pollution control facilities like the one in Fairhaven on the Small Peninsula, or down in Scotia, and there used to be one in Blue Lake. And, you know, they say it's not clean technology, or, you know, it's old school technology where you basically are, you're heating up water, which then turns a turbine, and then you make energy out of it. And, I had this epiphany one day, and I was talking to a friend, and we started realizing, like, you know, it doesn't make any sense for us to be burning natural gas in that same way, because really we're like the Saudi Arabia for biomass in the North Coast. We produce more wood-related material than almost any place in the world. It makes sense for us to be using wood for energy. It makes sense for us to be using wood for our building products. It makes sense for us to be using wood for lots and lots of different other uses, because that's what we produce here. And you don't have to ship it. You don't have to have all that transportation in moving something somewhere else. And you know, our infrastructure it takes for processing that is relatively small. So I think, you know, there's a huge opportunity to feel really good about this idea that our energy is locally made here. Our buildings are locally made here. You know, and that's what our signature. We're known for our redwoods and we're known for our forests. So it's pretty cool.
So with the air quality standards, I suppose, is the crux, and that's a discussion point for the future. Thanks for coming by. Merry Christmas, by the way.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Snuck up. All righty. See everybody tomorrow.